Welcome to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about changing your circumstances. We talk about changing yourself because the truth is most people think stress comes from life, the job, the marriage, the money, the kids, the deadlines. But what if stress isn't the event? What if it's the meaning that we have attached to the event? And what if most people spend decades trying to control everything around them while never learning how to navigate what's happening inside of them? God created us with minds that are powerful, but power without awareness can become suffering. So today we're going to talk about mindfulness. We're going to talk about stress, emotional resilience, self-awareness, personal transformation, and why the answers we're searching for may already be inside of us. Today's guest is Alan Imbarato. He's an entrepreneur, mindfulness teacher, creator of Keyflow, and someone who has spent over 50 years studying the connection between awareness, transformation, and human potential. So, Alan, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat today. You spent 10 years living in an ashram in your 20s. What were you searching for, and what did you discover that actually surprised you?
Well, I was searching for myself to know myself and understand the purpose in life and what really is meaningful. So I didn't really, I got lots of hints, lots of clues, and I just got led there by various circumstantial evident, events that brought me to meet a guru in India when I was in my early 20s. And I spent 10 years just going deep within myself.
That's amazing. Can you kind of speak to the audience about what the difference is, like what life is like in the ashram, the things that you can learn that modern life, I feel like, in comparison, I think people forget.
Well, basically, the idea is to be in the world but not of it. Okay. So there's another reality that we all are connected to that. We don't know about when we are grown up and go through school. We're mainly just get into our heads, but there's a whole other higher self, you might call it, or deeper self that's connected to a universal energy source that when you start to tap into that, it changes your awareness and your perception about everything.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Why do so many people feel stressed even when, like on paper, things look great? It looks like their life is going well, but they are still just stressed.
Well, there's many ways to answer that question, but the bottom line is that our nervous system records every painful or traumatic event in our life. And if we don't fully experience it and let go of it, it sticks there, and our amygdala part of our brain is always reminding us to protect ourselves to anything that in any way looks similar. So we have these four stress patterns that I've identified that are about maintaining protection of yourself. But it's not your real self, it's your ego self, okay? So that sympathetic nervous system is known as fight, flight, freeze, okay? And it gets activated whenever we feel a threat. So most people think stress is something to be avoided or numbed or glossed over or denied, but really, I see stress as an opportunity. It's a signal to open up to understand what just got triggered. What is this all about? What am I really afraid of? What really threatened me? What made me feel unsafe? So if you take charge of the meaning of being triggered, it's an opportunity to go deeper into your subconscious and even your unconscious mind to find these stress patterns that have been operating since childhood to get us to survive.
I mean, it's the truth. I think so many people are walking around with just their default and they don't understand that it is just their brain and everything that's happening is just data. It's data. How do those emotional triggers get formed and just kind of get stuck in that pattern in the first place?
Well, when we're a child, we don't really have discernment or discrimination. We're just completely dependent on getting the approval of our parents. We try to be good boys or good girls, and we try to avoid being bad or being blamed. So we develop these strategies to please or perform or try to stay in control or avoid being blamed. So those are the four patterns. And they get us through childhood, and going to school is pretty gruesome socially to survive. Kids aren't exactly always the nicest. You know, junior high was gruesome for me in terms of, you know, the abuse that goes on. And yeah. High school was even worse, perhaps. But yeah. Somehow we are in a world where people, you know, judge each other or project things onto each other and don't have that core understanding of loving kindness, which is at the center of who we really are.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. It is the center of who we are. And I think, you know, it's people repeating that pattern and they don't even realize it. It's because, like, there's a lesson. There's a lesson in the pattern. We get a chance to grow through that. And I think that's an incredible gift that we have been blessed with. What would you explain as the difference of responding versus reacting?
Well, we have another nervous system called the parasympathetic, which is more the calm nervous system, which enables us just to be aware. And if we can just learn, stress resilience is all about learning how to go from being in a reactive mode back to that calm place inside. So the more we can just nip it in the bud and get more interested quickly, like all of a sudden you get a pain in your neck or your stomach is queasy or you start feeling anxious or you start feeling worried or your mind starts racing. Mm-hmm. Those are all clues that you're uncomfortable. But if we could learn just to be with being uncomfortable for a few minutes, most emotions will resolve within a few minutes. But because we judge them as wrong, I can't be angry or I can't be sad or I can't be upset about something, we try to hide it and we suppress it. Okay. So then it stays in our body, and that's what keeps us reacting, because we have all these unresolved emotions that are sitting in our energy field. Yeah. You know, so that the opportunity is to start to fully experience being in the present. And just being with what is, not judging it, just getting interested and curious about it.
Yeah. Alan, tell me your story. Like, did you, because I know personally, I've worked really hard to not be a reactive person, and it's been work, but I only knew that I needed to not be reactive because I was a reactive monster. Like, everything, I was raging out. Do you know about this self-awareness, because you were once that reactive person and judging your emotions and kind of in the arena of that?
Oh yeah, I still do all of them. Yeah. I still react. You know, I run a software company, so I have lots of clients all over the world, and when their system has a problem or a bug, you know, I can, you know, they're the one that they come to me, I'm accountable. So I can, you know, if I get defensive and reactive, mm-hmm. That's just not going to solve the problem. So I meditate usually an hour or so a day and go into that calm place where I just feel centered and I feel creative and I feel very clear about my purpose and become more intentional about what I want to create during this day. And if I can just stay connected to that, or when I go off, then I just come back to that.
Yeah.
So having a foundation of meditation really helps me stay centered most of the day. But it doesn't mean I still don't react. It's like I play a lot of pickleball. And, you know, if I miss a shot or
that
something goes
aggressive.
Bad or I lose.
Yeah. competitive, not aggressive. That's the word, competitive.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's, to me, it's interesting to just see how my mind is working, and that I definitely, you know, my mind is, main job is to protect me. But when I go into meditation, I don't feel that at all. I just feel safe.
Yeah.
I feel love. I feel joy. I feel happy. So it's really a dance between the two all day long.
I love your honesty about that, because I mean, if I'm being honest, you have like the most calm energy I think I've had anybody sitting across from me, where I could just, you just have this whole level of calm, and it's very tangible. And I'm like, this guy never ever gets mad. It's impossible. So it's, thank you for the honesty of the fact that we're all still human. Because no matter how much I've worked on it, yeah, there are, I'm a mom. I'm a stay-at-home mom and I homeschool my kids. Yes, I react sometimes. Not always the greatest. And I look at the data and I'm apologizing and I'm like, man, how was I not feeling good? Because why did I just snap at everybody, right? I kind of learned that it's me. I didn't do something, or I didn't feel good, or I didn't meet my own needs, and like I'm projecting, you know, mad at somebody else, mad at my babies for no reason. What role does self-awareness play in personal freedom? Because everybody wants freedom.
Well, it's really an identity issue, really, in terms of who we think we are. If we think, you know, we have to prove ourselves or our self-worth, and we have to perform each day to get people's approval or impress people, or we have to be a good, you know, parent or a good man or a good woman or a good engineer, or that's our goal every day is to prove that we're a good person. That's driving us to be threatened anytime anything comes up, any evidence, like you're saying, data. I like that because I build databases.
Nice.
So it's all a matter of interpretation. But if you're introspective, if you're looking within yourself, you can begin to see that this is an old pattern, that this isn't who I really am. And if we stop identifying with that persona, so to speak, that mask, like I just did this personal growth seminar in Sedona, and they had us create masks, okay? Yeah. They took a mask and what paint on how you present yourself to the world, and then what's underneath that, what's your shadow, and paint that. And when you expose that, you understand you're not either of them, okay?
Yeah.
But we don't, you know, we lose connection with who we really are, with our true identity, our true self. And so the opportunity every day is to get closer to yourself, to know yourself, not feel threatened, not take other people's projections or judgments. That's, you know, it's like, it's none of your, you know, there was a book, none of your, it's none of your business what other people think of you. Okay.
Yes.
But we
truth.
Take it very seriously. Oh my God, you know, they don't like me, or I'm not good enough, or, you know, why did they give me a dirty look, or why didn't they answer my email, or why didn't they call me back? You know, there's something wrong, okay?
Yeah.
But it's not about them. It's about what am I creating, you know, and how do I want to interpret this? Is it mean because they didn't like me that something's wrong with me? No, it just means, you know, because we all have these lies going on. It's like the mind is constantly lying to us. The body actually tells the truth. That's why a lie detector test, it goes on your body, not your mind.
Yeah.
And the opportunity is to begin to question all that programming, all those lies, and ask, is that true? Is that really true? Do I really believe this? Like, 'cause we adopted so many beliefs about ourselves before we even had a chance to question whether they're true or not.
Yeah. I mean, everything you're saying is spot on. And I think just even calling out the patterns, like when you start to see that pattern and understanding our human experience, we did come here to remember who we were. That was the challenge. I feel like, you know, I'm sitting with God and I'm like, I want that human experience. I will remember who I am. And he's like, well, this is coming at you. This is coming at, hey, I can handle all of it. I will get back to who I am. And I think we all came here with that same mission. We knew there was going to be love and pain, and we knew it was going to be hard. And, you know, we knew there was going to be an incredible amount of joy at the end of that. And I think just remembering who we were, and I think another gift that we were given is that neuroplasticity. Like, no matter how much our brain is kind of set in that pattern. And I feel like for a long time, we were just kind of taught that who you were is who you are. That's it. What do people say? That's who I've always been. Like, people get so stuck on that. And it's so untrue, because the minute you break up that little pattern, I mean, scientifically, new connections start to happen. So I love that everything you're talking about, it just kind of backs that up. You've got decades in both business and personal growth. What do you see in those two worlds that have a lot in common?
Well, the more I create freedom in myself, the more I can play bigger in the world. Our true nature is abundance, okay? But we try to crunch it down so we can control it and feel safe in this false sense of comfort. But by creating possibilities and opening up, it just enables me to have all different kind of revenue streams, all different inventions, and continue to be innovative. Like now, my software business is really evolving and changed by AI. But so I could stay with the software I've spent 30 years building in a certain way and just try to hold on to that. Or I can let go and just open up and just start creating software in a completely new way and doing things much faster, more efficient, and much better, because now I know how to use AI to create software.
Yeah.
So my freedom to let go and not be attached is as a result of being clear who I really am.
You are. Yeah, I love that. Why do you think, because this is an underlying story, especially with people that I interview on this show, why do successful people often struggle the most with inner peace?
Because they're trying to prove themselves. You know, they're trying to be successful because they were told that that's the only way you're going to get loved is if you're successful. If you have a certain amount of money in your bank account, you have a certain house, a certain car. So, you know, I have all that, but that's not what's fulfilling. You know, I mean, it's nice to have, believe me, but really what fulfills me is the inner peace. Okay. Yes. So, the priorities are not aligned to have your heart aligned with your mind, with your spirit.
Yeah.
And we're out of alignment. So we think that what's valuable is, you know, making money. Okay. Money, your net worth is equal to your self worth. Okay. Yeah. And so that you're always stressing to be more or achieve more. No matter how much you achieve, it's never enough. There's always someone more successful. There's always someone who has more money. So you can never rest. You always have to have more. But if you have inner peace, you already connected to abundance. You can play the game in a whole different way.
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely, I love how you explain that very clearly for them. I feel like also that, you know, it's that curated Instagram, and it's kind of what social media shows us, like success is the big house, success is a bunch of cars, success is all the girls, success is the big bank account. And when truly, I think you hit that spot on. It is, can you look in the mirror at night and love who you are? Can you sit with yourself in a quiet room for 10 minutes and be comfortable in that space? You know,
it's funny you brought up the mirror, because I just did this exercise in this workshop, and they had a full length mirror, okay?
Yeah.
And you had to put your chair right next to the mirror and look directly into your eyes, because your eyes are the seat of the soul. And then the facilitator would ask you, you know, what do you see?
Yeah.
What do you feel?
Yeah.
And, you know, just going, letting your soul have a chance to speak, it has different priorities than your mind, okay?
Yes.
But the soul is the one who we were before we came here.
Yep.
And it's going to be who we are when we leave here. So this opportunity of being a spiritual being in a human body, if we have that perspective, then we're not going to be as fearful or threatened by anything.
Right. I mean, I love that perspective. And I can imagine, if we're being honest, Alan, a lot of people were probably super uncomfortable sitting in front of that mirror. It's hard for people.
No, my mind was freaking out.
I know I'm not doing this, and especially I'm not doing this in front of other people. This is not happening. So you may as well just stood in front of everyone naked. That's what it feels like sometimes. So I totally get that. So technology, I want to talk about that for a second because it kind of it's a bitter it's a double-edged sword, right? Like it's a huge, beautiful gift, but it's also like I'm watching it destroy people. Like I'm watching it destroy souls. I'm watching it have people distracted. How could technology be used to help people become more conscious instead of more distracted?
Well, it's sort of been my mission with creating this app Key Flow is to use technology to take people deeper. So we have a quiz, like a 3-minute quiz, to help you identify your stress patterns. And then we've created an AI mindfulness guide to engage you in a chat to take you through a 4-step process to face your stress, focus on what is triggering your stress, free you from that underlying fear and core belief, and then open you up into the flow. That's why it's called Key Flow. Key is life energy and then flow. But there's lots of meditation apps, there's lots of therapy apps, there's lots of ways to use technology. I mean, AI is amazing. I mean, I engage my AI mindfulness guide, and he just gets, pressing me and calling me to look at stuff. And so, I mean, you can use AI for lots of different ways, but if you develop more of an honest, vulnerable relationship with AI, AI can really help reflect back and help you facilitate. Like, our guide is not a therapist, but it's like more of a facilitator to embody it through what we call somatic mindfulness, to just because your body has wisdom. And if you just listen to your body sensations, they're going to reveal certain information to you. So we're using this AI agent to facilitate people to go within and understand what their body is telling them.
I love that. I was very blessed. I had a mentor that introduced me to someone that created a program for my AI, and it has been an incredible gift to me because it sees my blind spots. It sees my like it kind of calls out all of that stuff. I basically, put my journals into it, and it's been a great gift. And I wish it was accessible for everybody. Unfortunately, right now it's not. So KeyFlow sounds like something people could get their hands on, and it would actually move the needle for them. So I want to talk about that in a second. What is one belief about happiness that you think is completely wrong in the world right now?
Basically that we're not enough, okay? That we always are lacking, that we're not connected already to abundance, okay? That we live in scarcity and survival, and that we keep thinking happiness is surviving, okay? And just being rich does not mean you're happy, okay? So the opportunity is to really discover true happiness. There's a natural bliss, a natural energy that's already there. Okay, you don't have to create it. You don't have to. It's not a matter of doing this. It's a matter of being this. We're not called human doings. We're called human beings. Okay. But the being part gets forgotten because we're so busy always trying to fill up our day by doing things. And thinking, oh yeah, well, look at me, how busy I am. I must, that must get me to happiness one day. So, but it's like I was looking at this reel today with Eckhart Tolle, and he was talking about dogs, and how you look at a dog, they're just naturally happy. You come home, and they're just like so happy. They just go into this dance, and they just like, or a cat, they just like. Can't wait to see you, just or their tail just keeps wagging. It's like they have no ego. They're just like naturally just being a dog. Okay. We could be the same way, except we're so programmed and domesticated. It's like most animals, the whole thing is to train a dog to become domesticated, and you have to like train them in all these ways to not be a dog, But, the same way, we've all been domesticated and gone through, every culture has it. It's like some cultures, It's not okay to eat cows. Other cultures, it's not okay to eat pigs. Other cultures, you know, every culture has their rules of how you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But how true are they, or how real are they? Just someone made it up thousands of years ago, put it into these things called scriptures, and it's like, oh yeah, this is how we're supposed to be. But if you just take a moment and try to discern yourself, is this true? You know, is this work for me? Is this working for me? You'll go and find the happiness is within you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, no matter what people believe, because I've studied different things, and it really does, I think everything kind of comes down to that happiness is inside of you. It's you're never going to find anything outside of yourself. Everything is within, for sure. And I think, you know, it's a message we take for granted. I wish it was something that people could just flip a switch on right now, because the world would be such a different place. You know, if it wouldn't be so dog eat dog, it wouldn't be so, you know, just it'd be different. What have you learned about human nature after decades of helping people transform?
Oh boy. I mean, you know, most of us are missing the point. You know, we're just lost, and we have to put on this pride that, oh yeah, we know what we're doing, or I got it together, or, you know, I do everything I can just to keep my life from falling apart. Okay. Yeah. You know, and we spend so much energy going on the outside rather than going on the inside. And so, you know, it's like there's these Tibetan monks that, you know, both are men and women. I mean, they just like go and they just like stay in this space. Like I just went to in Sedona, there was this Buddhist Tibetan park. You know, it's just like, why, what are they experiencing? Why do they do that? Why would they want to do that? Yeah, it's like, And, you know, just to create some room to start questioning and, you know, finding out what really is working for you in your life. Because most of the time we're repeating the same patterns over and over and over again and getting the same results. It's like, what? Is this, how much approval have I gotten? I mean, I've been seeking approval all my life. Mm-hmm. And all these people, if I ask them, you know, do they like me or am I okay? They would probably say yes. But if the one voice in my head says I'm not good enough, or people don't like me, or I'm not lovable, or it doesn't matter, all these people trying to love me, I'm deflecting it. I'm negating it. Okay. So I don't know. It's just that's what I've noticed myself, in myself, and I've noticed it in lots of people.
Yeah. I love that. And that's an incredibly powerful message as well. Not only just because of the fact it doesn't matter how many people tell you, because if you don't believe it, it's not true. But also in the same sense, a lot of people stay stuck out of that fear of like what people are going to think. Who cares what they think? Like that's not, it doesn't change anything in your life. Like your experience is yours alone. It's like we're all the main character of our own show, but like we're waiting for someone to give us permission. Like, can I show up in my life and just be me completely? Is that all right? I don't need anyone's permission. I'm here, which means I was given the gift of being able to do that. So what an incredible message. What would you say to the person listening right now who just feels overwhelmed, super exhausted, and super stuck?
Spend some time just doing nothing. Just sit down and feel uncomfortable and make it okay that you're not perfect. It's like, we think our self-worth or our self-value comes from being perfect, okay? But it doesn't matter. I might have proven my worth many times to many people, but they don't really care how worthy I am.
Right.
You know, no matter how much time I proved it to them, until I understand my own true worth. So if something's not working, if something's stressing you, it's a signal, okay? It's like you're going down a road and your car all of a sudden, you know, says you're drifting, and the sensor goes off and tries to pull you back to the lane. That's what stress is.
Yeah.
Stress is like a trying to get you back to your center.
Yeah.
So if you just start to pay attention and listen to your inner intuition, your true voice, not your programmed voice, you'll get hints, you'll get clues. Your dreams, listen to your dreams. Serendipity, it's like there's a certain magic that could be happening that you're missing because you're not noticing that there's some other higher force guiding you back to your center. Okay. Yes. You know, whether you believe in angels or guides or it doesn't really matter. What matters is if you're listening or not.
I mean, I love that. And just to add to that, too, I think society kind of made anxiety like an identity problem. Like people just make that who they are instead of, like you said, it's the alert system. It's the data. It's just information. And that's something I've really had to practice. I mean, it hasn't happened overnight. But it's that when I start getting anxious, I'm thinking, man, what's coming up that I don't feel like I have control of? Right. Like that's why I'm freaking out, because obviously I'm a control freak and I have 50 million things going on. I just take a step and I breathe and I'm like, OK, what is, you know, let's write it down. Like what's happening this week? What am I losing control of that I didn't have control of in the first place? Or what do I need to let go? It's data. And if you're willing to just ask the questions, you know, you kind of mentioned that before. If you just ask the questions and check in with yourself, I think that goes a long way. Tell us about Key Flow. The origin story of it, the birth story, how people could find it.
Well, I first created an app called Stress Shifter back in 2011, okay, when the App Store first came out. And it's basically based on a seminar that I did back in the 80s called Winning at Work and at Life, which I created after being in the ashram. So I basically wanted to address that people win at work but lose at life, okay? Mm. So the material has been evolved over 30-something years, and now with AI, I've created a new version where it's very safe and anonymous and facilitate. I mean, I would travel all over and have to spend a whole weekend with people, you know, taking them through these processes. Now, you can get the same breakthroughs in a few minutes by interacting with this AI guide that we've created that incorporates all this material that I was doing for many years. So it's like a four-step process. I alluded to it: facing, focusing, freeing, and flowing, to get you resilient to get back into the flow. So, you know, it's an opportunity. It's very safe to be vulnerable. No one's going to know. You're just talking to your phone or to this program, and it's completely private, and it gets to know you. Okay, like you were saying, you've trained an AI, gets to know you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I know your pattern is to be a perfectionist. You want to control everything. You think you're going to get safe by controlling everything on the outside, or your pattern is to be the performer, to, you know, impress everybody and get everyone to approve you, then that's when you're going to feel okay and safe. Or your pattern is to be the passenger, where you don't have to, you know, be in control and you can avoid being blamed. You don't have to be held accountable. Or your goal is to be the pleaser. Okay, you please everybody. You know, don't make waves, fit in, don't create any conflict. Mm-hmm. Then that's going to make you safe. So the quiz helps you identify which of those four patterns, but they're all really running. I mean, I do all of them really, but there's one dominant one that I've invested many years in doing, okay? So once you can expose that and admit that, then you can have a conversation with this guide called Khifu. Khi is life energy and Fu is like a teacher. So, you know, you can go to keyflow.app and you can start the chat or take the quiz. And the quiz only takes like 3 or 4 minutes. And, you know, it's not an indictment. It's not who you are. Right. But it's just seeing the pattern so you have some separation between you and the pattern. And you begin to see how many years you've invested in that pattern of trying to get people's approval or trying to control everything, control people, and see what it's cost you. And the problem with stress is it's very costly. You know, most chronic diseases originate in chronic stress.
Yeah.
Heart disease, diabetes, cancer, all these things start with your body constantly secreting cortisol and all these stress hormones that completely keep your body inflamed and throw all your organs out of balance and cause eventual disease. So this app is an opportunity not only for your health and your well-being, but, you know, to make your life better, okay?
Yeah. It's like a one-stop shop for a lot. I mean, I can already tell this is a lot of experience wrapped up into this. So make sure you guys get resourced in that. I'll link it in the show notes for you all. And Alan, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special, for what that's worth. And it's not the technology, it's clearly you're a genius. It's not the business success. It's not even the 50 years of mindfulness practice. It's that you've spent your life helping people look inside in a world that is obsessed with fixing everything outside of that. You being here to have these conversations to remind people that awareness changes everything. It's special that you understand that transformation isn't about becoming someone new. It's about uncovering who you've always been underneath all of the stress and the fear and conditioning all along. And now the fact that you have found this incredible way to bridge all of this ancient wisdom that you have taken on, you have brought that to these modern tools. I think it is powerful. I think it makes you special. To everyone listening, you guys, pay attention, not to the noise, not to the distractions, not to what everyone else is doing. Pay attention to yourself, because awareness is where change begins. And most people spend their lives chasing peace, chasing happiness. But peace isn't something you find. Sometimes it's something you uncover. Because you were given a mind, a beautiful mind, a heart, a spirit. Learn how to listen to them. Be present, be intentional, be radically honest with yourself. And please remember that your mess is your message, you guys. Even the stress, even the overwhelm, even the patterns that you keep repeating, those may be the clues pointing you towards your greatest growth. If this episode spoke to you, please share it with someone who needs it. Let's make sure that Alan's app gets in the hands of the people who could really use that. If you guys are ready for the hot seat, I dare you to come tell me why you're special. Alan, thank you so much for your time. This was amazing, and I'm excited to check this app out.
Well, hot seat was pretty nice. Thank you very much.
Of course.